Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. Now, I'm not sure that I can do, as a matter of fact, I am sure that I cannot do a worthy job of presenting this text to you today. I'm sure of that because I'm a man. But I believe the Holy Spirit can take the feebleness of this man and this clay and present something to you about this verse of Scripture that will cause your mind to always remember. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible as it concerns wisdom, understanding, and counsel. It ought to be memorized, and it ought to be followed every day of your life from now until Jesus comes. It's Proverbs 21, verse 30. You say, well, that's quite a billing for a verse of Scripture. I'm sure that we could say that about every verse of Scripture in the Bible. You know, when you think about it, but truthfully, this one stands above so many as it concerns wisdom, understanding, and counsel. Listen to the verse. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. None. Now, we call it wisdom. And we call it understanding, and we call it counsel, though it be against the Lord. But the Bible says if it's not of the Lord, then it is against the Lord. And if it is against the Lord, then it is no wisdom. It is no understanding. It is no counsel. See, when it comes to making decisions at any level, personally, all the way up to decisions that are made internationally, this verse needs to be remembered. There is no wisdom, no understanding, and no counsel against the Lord. If you follow wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord, you will wind up destroyed. If you want your decisions to work out, and I certainly want mine to work out, I mean, isn't it a comfort to know that there is a certain way that you can decide things according to the counsel and wisdom and understanding of God, and know that those decisions are going to work out, that they're going to end up on the right road? And if you want, I mean, that's a comfort to me. I'm sure that it is a comfort to you. I'm sure that it is a desire that you have. That is, that you want your decisions to work out. Who wouldn't? Well, if you want your decisions to work out, you must always see where God stands on a thing, and then go his way, and your decisions will work out. Now, will they work out to make you the richest man in the world? Probably not. As a matter of fact, I can assure you that they won't. Although Solomon made a decision that he wanted wisdom and understanding from God, God gave it to him, and he did become the richest man in the world, based upon the wisdom and the understanding that God gave him. That's what he wanted. That's what Solomon wanted. Now, he didn't always follow it. And when he did not follow it, his decisions destroyed his kingdom. Okay, listen. If you want to be destined for failure, and some people are just that way. I mean, they just kind of have a defeatist attitude. Oh, everything I do never works out anyway. If you want to be destined for failure, then make sure that your decisions do not follow the wisdom, understanding, and counsel of the Lord. Go in an opposite direction. If God says don't steal, steal. If God says don't curse, curse. If God says don't sacrifice to idols, then sacrifice to idols. If God says worship the Lord God only, and him only shalt thou serve, then worship the devil, or worship a statue, or worship a false god, or worship Allah, or whatever you want to do. If you want your decisions to fail, and you want to be destined to failure, then do something contrary to what God said. And then you're guaranteed failure. And maybe that failure won't come immediately. Sometimes it does. Maybe that failure will come ultimately. And if it comes ultimately, it's what you should have expected. You shouldn't be surprised when things turn out wrong. Now, he speaks of three things here: wisdom, understanding, and counsel. Well, let's look at the Bible then and examine these things according to what the Bible has to say. Wisdom. Well, what comes to mind immediately is James chapter 3. I learned years and years and years ago a very, very, very valuable lesson from a friend of mine regarding James chapter 3. Because in James chapter 3, there's two kinds of wisdom. Verse 13, James chapter 3 shows you one kind. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is, here we go, first kind of wisdom, earthly, sensual, devilish. Earthly because it does not descend from the Father above. If it did, it would match this book. It's earthly. Sensual because it is based upon how you feel about it. It's based upon the leadership that actually takes place in the flesh, though you may associate that leadership with the Spirit of God. It is, in fact, an evil spirit that's leading you. Devilish, therefore. Earthly, sensual, devilish. It's very popular today for people to have earthly, sensual, devilish type of wisdom because, really, they don't spend enough time in the Bibles to know whether or not God is leading them or whether they're being led by their impressions and impulses and own desires. We've seen that over the years. I know you have yourself. People will come to you and they're getting ready to tell you something that they're going to do, which really turns out to be a very ridiculous idea. I mean, on face value, it's obvious that it's a ridiculous idea. And yet, because they are compelled to do it, they'll say to you, well, I prayed about it, see, and put that spiritual twist on something that did not come from the Spirit of God. This wisdom descendeth not from above. It is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Okay? Now, notice there's also a wisdom that does come from above, that does come from God. It's in verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oftentimes, as a matter of fact, just recently we had a visiting preacher, and he said, you know, I really believe I know what I'm going to preach tonight, but I'm not absolutely sure about it. I just don't have complete peace on that. But later on when he preached, you know, it was right on the money. And before he preached, he did have complete peace about it. But that is something that is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is something that is called the fruit of righteousness, sown in peace of them that make peace. Because you see, the wisdom from God, secondly, is peaceable. You should have peace about it. First, it's pure. Pure motives, pure results, pure desires, pure things. You know, God would never do anything wrong to save your soul. There are a lot of people today who are very avid soul winners, and I admire them for their desire to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they would do something wrong, and I don't mean that across the board. Please don't misunderstand me, but there are those that would do something wrong in order to get an opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody that's lost. God would never do that because his wisdom is always pure, then peaceable, gentle. People today respond to a pushy spirit. Easy to be entreated. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not wisdom that comes from above. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality, it's not just reserved for the elitist class of high spiritual Christians that are in this earth. And without hypocrisy, good for me, not for you. It's not like that. It's available to everybody. Jesus Christ talked about the wisdom that God would give to a person, and he said, this stuff is for babes. I thank thee, O God, that thou hast not revealed this unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes, without hypocrisy, without partiality. Anybody can have it. Now, there is the earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom that comes from down here. It feels like something, and the devil is behind it. Then there's the wisdom that comes from God, and you get that in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men. See, it's without hypocrisy and it's without partiality. He'll give it to anybody. That giveth to all men liberality and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So, if the wisdom that you have is not from the Lord, then it is definitely, by definition, no wisdom. You know what it's like? It's like the earthly, worldly wisdom of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now you can see real quickly that if a man's going to have wisdom from God, he's going to get it, first of all, and foremost, right out of the words of God. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For it is written, God's talking, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. There it is. Because it's no wisdom and it's no understanding. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Where is our wisdom? It's in Christ Jesus. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see the difference? God is going to destroy the wisdom of the world. So the wisdom that says the war on drugs, for instance, is won by saying no, that's not wisdom. Why? Do you know it's not wisdom? Because it hasn't worked. We still have young people hooked on dope. We still have young people that are not able to resist. They do not have the strength within their flesh to fight off the lust of the flesh or the pressures of the peers. It isn't working. No, rather the war on drugs is won by stopping the drugs. I've often believed, and I'm sure it's true, that the reason that we can't quote-unquote win the war on drugs is that there are people in powerful positions who benefit by the sale of drugs even to this day, and to stop drugs altogether would then mean that their money would be cut off. And they have influence politically and judicially. And so the war is not stopping because nobody's really fighting against the drugs. But if somebody went to work on the drugs and the people that pushed the drugs to stop them, you see, they'd win it. You can't tell me with all of our intelligence and all of our military and all of our police that and all of our courts that we can't stop these things. We could, but we don't because nobody's really trying to win that war. But they're just telling the kids, let us keep doing this, but you just tell them no. A kid doesn't have that much strength, and a kid, for the most part, doesn't have that much resolve, and there's lust in the flesh and curiosity of mind, they're going to try it. And that's why you continue to have a drug problem. The war on drugs is won by stopping the drugs and the pushers and by regenerating the soul so that the Spirit of God can war against the lust of the flesh and win. Now, if a man has the Spirit of God in him, now he's got something strong enough to resist. So when a man presents him with drugs, he can say no. And the Spirit of God will work in him so that he can yield to the Spirit of God to stop. It's the same with alcohol. The solution to it is to eliminate it. But frankly, people in positions of influence and power, and quite frankly, because of the tax, even the government benefits a great deal by the liquor trade. And so they're not about to stop it. We had that stopped one time in this country with prohibition. They're not going to stop it again. But if you really wanted to solve, listen, what did we say the other day? There are 85,000 annual deaths that are related to alcohol. Now they're going to try to put a stop with billions of dollars of research in cancer, billions of dollars of research in heart disease, billions of dollars of research into diabetes. They're going to try to put a stop to diabetes, to heart disease, and to cancer. with $1 billion of research. Listen, we don't have to spend a dime on research, and I can tell you how to stop the alcohol problem. Get rid of it. Eliminate it. But they won't do it. They're going to try to eliminate cancer. They're going to try to eliminate, like they eliminated polio. They're going to try to eliminate that. Well, then why don't you eliminate the alcohol? It's killing more people than the cancer. It's killing more people than the diabetes. It's killing more people than the heart disease. So why don't you get rid of the alcohol? We make a lot of money on that. It's the same with sex. There's no such thing as safe sex. I mean, they talk about it and they give you instruction on things to do and not to do it. So the only safe sex is abstinence till you marry. You see, this is the idea that there's wisdom in safe sex. There's not. There is the proliferation of fornication, and so that what you breed into marriages is infidelity because they're already used to having multiple sex partners. Same-sex marriage, same thing. They've approved that in California or something. They're talking about doing this. Let me tell you something, okay? When that Bible in wisdom says you get men together in marriage, you get women together lying with each other, that destroys a country, let me tell you what that's going to do. That's going to destroy this country. You say, yeah, but there's a separation of church and state. There's a separation of church and state. Hey, let me tell you something. There is not constitutionally the separation of church and state. Not constitutionally. There is the prohibition against the establishment of a religion, i.e. a state religion. But to say that it is illegal to have same-sex marriage is absolutely constitutional, and it is absolutely biblical, and the only reason they don't want to do it is because they want to proliferate that stuff, and when they do, they are going to drive this country into absolute ruin. There's no wisdom in that. There is no wisdom against the Lord. Now, I just gave you a few examples, but you go on. Listen, the wisdom of the world says that we have world peace by killing our enemies. There's a guy that was on one of the radio broadcasts just the other day who said, you know, we believe in the mushroom. The mushroom is for Israel. Get rid of Israel and we'll have world peace. That's wrong. There's no truth in that. We don't have world peace by killing our enemies. Peace is not killing. You got it? People say we're going to have world peace by praying for it. That's wrong. Why? Because that's against the Lord. He said, I have not come to send peace, but a sword. You say, well, we're going to have world peace by getting all the governments to be democratic governments. That won't work. We don't have peace in our own country with democracy. It's not even a democracy. It's a republic. By education and the elimination of poverty, we'll get rid of problems and have world peace because everybody will be up on the same basis. Man, they've been singing that tune so long, and the rich are getting richer, and the poor are still here. That ain't working, and it won't work. Why? Because it's counsel against the Lord. World peace comes by Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, but he is not welcome in so many places on this earth where he can have influence. So you know what he's going to have to do? He's just going to have to come back and take over. And when he does, guess what? We'll have world peace. You say, how do you know that? Because that's the counsel of God. That's the wisdom of God. That's the understanding of God. And that's where it comes from. And in the meantime, the only way you can have peace is in your heart by the presence of the Holy Spirit after you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, man, you know, that's so narrow-minded. It's Bible. There is no wisdom against the Lord. If you try to pursue something against the clear stated wisdom of God in the Bible, it will not work and you will wind up being destroyed. That's all there is to it. I book it. It happens every time. He says there's no wisdom. There's no understanding. Understanding is like wisdom. It's connected to the Lord and it's connected to his righteousness. The Bible says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So where does understanding come from? Departing from evil. Well, if you look at the way things are going, we're trying to find a way to legalize more immorality in this country, not less. Right? I mean, today there are a lot of things that are now legal that weren't legal before. Gambling is a great example. Before, they used to have to stand on the street corner and watch for the cops and tell the signal back to the guy at the front door to signal to the guys on the inside, flip the table, hide the chips, put out the po' boys, and pretend that we're just having a bunch of men over tonight with all this cigar smoke eating po' boys. Yeah. And today, now you go in the convenience store, you can gamble legally. That's legalized immorality. Pornography, legalized immorality. That's what it is. Strip joints, legalized immorality. You see, The Bible says if you want to have understanding, you got to depart from evil. And the world says if you want to have fun, you got to have more evil. There, see, there's a lot that is portrayed as understanding that is not understanding. For instance, with the minds of the people so corrupt as they are today, they want to understand the origin of the species. And you know what they conclude? That we evolved. That's not understanding. That's foolishness, because that understanding is against the Lord. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the more that we have compelled people to believe in evolution, and the further that we've got away from God by believing that he made this place, the more animalistic the behavior of the human beings. And it's no surprise. Why should anybody be shocked? Nobody should be shocked. You say, are they getting more animalistic? Are you paying attention? It's incredible. The Bible says, you go that way, you don't have understanding, you are a fool. Understanding the nature of men without taking into consideration what God knows about us is ignorance. Now, you're not going to tell God anything about men that he doesn't already know, but you're going to learn from God a lot of things about men that you don't know. In John chapter 2, verse 25, John chapter 2, verse 25, about the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, the Bible says regarding Jesus Christ, he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And you know what? He still does. If anybody can read you like a book, God can. If you want to get some understanding about where you came from, where you're going, and who you are, you need to find out from God. And I'll tell you, that where you're going is something you ought to understand. Now, I know where I'm going, and that's not because I'm prideful. That's not because I'm a smart aleck. I know where I'm going because I believe what God said. God said if I would take his son as my Savior and believe him and trust him, that I'd be going to heaven. All right? You know why I know where I'm going? Because God said so, and I believe it. But even if I didn't believe it, if I had received Jesus Christ as my Savior, that's where I'm going. That's what he said. That's understanding. I understand something. All right, wisdom. If it's not of God, it's not wisdom. If it's not understanding of God, it's not understanding. And if it's not counsel of the Lord, it's not counsel. The greatest counsel is from the Lord, and the second greatest counsel is from the Spirit-filled men who speak like Ahithophel did as the oracles of God. A man like that will give you, or a woman like that, will give you counsel that is scriptural, though it be not scripture. In other words, they may not actually quote the verse of scripture to you, but they'll give you counsel that is scriptural. When you read the Bible, you'll see that their counsel matches the words of God exactly. In other words, their counsel is not against the Lord. It is of the Lord. Counsel that is against the Lord is no counsel. All right, now look at this. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28. Look at this. Deuteronomy 32, 28. The song of Moses against the Jews as a witness when they were going to go into apostasy and idolatry and other things to get away from God. Look what he says. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 28. For they are a nation. This is the Lord speaking about Israel in the condition they're getting ready to go into as they sing the song of Moses. They are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. You know why? No counsel, no understanding. Because what they were doing was against the Lord. Oh, that they were wise, there's your wisdom, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. You want some good, godly counsel today? Consider your latter end. Consider your latter end. How's the thing that you're involved in going to turn out? You can ask that about anything you get involved in. This modernistic movement to try to build up a big crowd for whatever reason and excuse that the preacher gives is a bad movement. You know why? Because the latter end of it is apostasy. You can see it. It's already written on the wall. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But they are expedient in their decisions to do it today because they say, at least we're keeping the crowds. At least we're ministering to more people. At least we can do more for God with all the money that's coming in. So they justify it. But the latter end is apostasy. So here's the counsel. Get in the book. I'm talking about get in that authorized King James Bible. Somebody says, well, I can't understand it. You can understand it. Understanding comes from God. Understanding comes from departing from evil. All you got to do is just pray and ask God, look, I'm coming to you as a humble servant, humble child of God. I don't know what's in here. Please teach me. And he'll do it every time. Get in the book. Get saved. Get saved. You say, why? Because the consequences, your latter end, are great if you do. You get to go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus Christ, with God, in beautiful mansions, prepared, streets of gold, New Jerusalem, heaven, the whole thing. You get to reign with Christ for 1,000 years while he's here on the earth and everything's going to be at peace. That's a wonderful thing, by the way. That's the guarantee of salvation. Get that. The consequences, that's a good reason. Consider your latter end. If you don't get saved, the Bible says your eternity will be a fiery hell. You don't want that, I can assure you. You may think that, why should I believe this guy that's on the radio telling me that? I'm just telling you, for a fact, from what the Bible says and the descriptions that are given of hell, you do not want to go there. You don't even want to risk it. And then follow the commands of God. Get in the book, get saved, and follow the commands of God. You see, because today, in any public arena, government-type arena, public schools, courtrooms, you know, public displays, things like that, they're saying no to the counsel of God. They're saying, we don't want to see God's commands. So the counsel is away from God, and the fruit of that counsel is evident. Our country is not morally and spiritually in better shape today than it was 20 years ago. It's in worse shape. It's obvious that it is. And so to stem the tide in your own life, get in the Bible, read it, believe it, follow it, get saved, which is simple. You can do that in 5 minutes by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then follow what he said. Follow God's commands, regardless of who tells you not to do that. And then you'll have counsel, and you'll have wisdom, and you'll have understanding that comes from God, and you won't be prone to make foolish mistakes, and won't be prone to believe something that is not wisdom, something that is not understanding, and something that is really not counsel at all, though you hear it spoken by a multitude of mouths. Our prayer is that this verse will sink into your heart and remain there to guide you till Jesus comes.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.